Today, our Shikshastakam Prabhu sang this beautiful prayer by Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur to his spiritual master. When devotees asked Srila Prabhupada how we should pray, Srila Prabhupada's instruction was that we should very carefully study the prayers of the great souls and learn how to pray and what to pray for from them. Mahajano yena gatasa panta. Lord Chaitanya quoted this verse to teach that the path of perfection is to follow in the footsteps of great souls. In fact, Lord Chaitanya taught, there's no other way. Only by following in the footsteps of great personalities can we actually understand and realize the truth. Thus, Srimad Bhagavatam is the crest jewel, the cream of all Vedic literatures. Because not only does it teach of the Supreme Lord in his various principal incarnations, and the original Swayam Bhagavan Sri Krishna, in great detail explaining his pastimes when he appeared on earth in Vrindavan, Mathura, and Dwarka. But the prominence of Srimad Bhagavatam is the qualities of the love and the surrender of the devotees who even pass through many difficult circumstances. The primary stories of Bhagavatam teach us how great devotees, even in the face of opposition, persecution, and great tribulation, always remain faithful to the Lord. And their prayers to the Lord, even under those circumstances. It begins with Parikshit Maharaj, who's cursed to die in 7 days. Gauranga Prabhu today cited a statement of Prabhupada, which I have been sincerely trying to amplify in your hearts. Prabhupada writes that the greatness of a person has to be estimated by how he or she tolerates provoking situations. Now, to be cursed in 7 days when you really didn't do anything wrong is a provoking situation. But Parikshit Maharaj didn't have the slightest bit of anger or resentment in his heart. He saw it as an opportunity to surrender to Krishna. And his beautiful prayers and questions to Shukadev Goswami inspired the whole Bhagavatam to be spoken. Because Parikshit was going to die in 7 days, which is a big tribulation, and because everyone on earth is going to die sooner or later, and in Kali Yuga, it's never much later, Shukadev Goswami's explanations to Parikshit Maharaj are very much centered around devotees who are in difficult circumstances. In fact, practically every avatar appears when devotees pray in difficult circumstances. Yes? Kurmavatar is the first of the Dasavatars. And he, the whole mountain, this Sumeru mountain, was sinking in the ocean. And all the demigods were getting crushed. So they cried to Vishnu, please, please, please support this mountain. We're helpless. We're hopeless. We're already conquered by the demons. And our only hope is to churn and get this nectar. Otherwise, we're lost forever. Save us. And the Lord appeared as Kurma. Because there was difficulties. And Matsyavatar, he appeared because there was a flood that inundated the entire planet. Yes, there was no possibility to survive. He appeared with a boat to actually sustain life with Maharaj Satyavrat. Very serious matter, life or death. And Varahadev, the whole earth was submerged in the bottom of the ocean. And the rishis and the sages and everyone, they didn't know what to do. Even the devatas, they approached Brahma. And Brahma was helpless. What does Brahma do when he's hopeless and helpless? As long as things are within the power of Lord Brahma, he fixes it. And so many times he does that. But we don't know about those times. Millions of times the devatas approach Brahma and he fixes things. But I personally don't know a single time. Because who cares? It's not news. It's not news for the Vaishnavas. Maybe for the Karmakandis, there's so many stories who know about how Brahma fixes things when you're in trouble. But for the Vaishnavas, it's not even worthy of being put in our pages, of our literatures. It's only when things go so totally out of control that even Brahma doesn't know what to do. Now, what is our position compared to Brahma as far as fixing things and making difficulties right? Yes? Brahma has tremendous powers. He lives 300 trillion plus years. But when even things in this world are out of the control of Brahma, then he prays to Vishnu to save us. And he was praying. Hiranyaksha was so powerful. He was exploiting so bad. The earth was so exploited, it fell to the bottom of the ocean, and Brahma was just praying, Vishnu, I don't know what to do. What? Please help us. And then he appeared from the nose of Brahma. What a wonderful birth. And how he saved. And the next avatar is? We know the story of Prahlad Maharaj. Srimad Bhagavatam tells great detail. 98% of this story is about Prahlad. And the culmination is Lord Narsingadev coming out of the pillar. But chapter after chapter after chapter is the glories of Prahlad. And how he acted when everything was against him. And he was only 5 years old. And he didn't even have any association. Can you imagine being a five-year-old child in the kingdom of Hiranyakashipu where there is not a single devotee? Everyone is a rakshasa and a demon. And you can't escape. And you're a devotee. Very difficult. And your father hates you. And he's turning all his armies to kill you. Very difficult. But for Prahlad, it wasn't difficult. And Lord Narsingadev appeared to protect him. And Vamanadev also came when all the devotees, the demigods, lost everything to Vamana, to Bali Maharaj. Everything. They lost their property. They lost their positions, their wealth, their prestige, and they lost their service to the Lord. They had nothing. And even the mother of the demigods, Aditi, was in great anguish to see her children in such a state of bereavement. And they prayed and they prayed. And Vamanadeva appeared as the child of Kashyapa and Aditi. And Bali Maharaj, he was a very complex person. We discussed him the other day. He was a devotee who was the king of the demons. Now, how would you like to have a service like that? It's very complex. He's moral. He's pious. He's surrendered to the Lord. But his occupation is to be the king of the asuras. Hare Krishna. Prahlad had the same service. And then he was put in a terribly difficult situation. Guru's cursing him. He lost everything. And how did he pray? How did he respond? Just like his grandfather, Prahlad. And then there's Parasuram. Yes. Very difficult situation. The Kshatriyas were rascals, puffed up, independent, not respecting Brahmins, plundering the earth. Parasuram came at a time of great conflict. They even killed his father. And Ramchandra, Ravana was plundering everything. It was the devatas and the Brahmins and the sages that prayed to Sri Ram, please come to this earth and save us. Yes? And even Krishna, Mother Earth, along with Brahma and all the devatas, had no power to save from Kamsa, Jarasandha, and all of these demons. They were helpless. They were hopeless. They prayed for mercy. And Krishna appeared. And Dhruva Maharaj, absolutely heartbroken, 5-year-old child. His father turned against him. His mother was powerless. His heart was shattered. So much shattered that he renounced his home and ran to the forest. Major trauma. If a psychiatrist was to analyze Dhruva Maharaj, this is major trauma. I mean, your child sometimes gets angry and gets hurt, but do they leave home and run to the forest? Not just the backyard. I remember when I was a little boy, I got very angry with my parents because they didn't do what I wanted. And I said, I'm leaving home forever. And I went to the backyard and went to sleep in the bushes. And my mother would send food out to me. Anyways, I lasted about a day. So I wasn't hurt that bad. But Dhruva Maharaj to the forest, deep into the forest, where there's lions and tigers and leopards and snakes. And he was determined to never come home until he avenges and gets a kingdom better than his father and his grandfather. Hare Krishna. You can imagine the trauma he was suffering, the psychological damage that was done to him by his father and his mother, stepmother. And Lord Prishnagarbha appeared to him. Yes? And what were Dhruva's prayers? And the residents of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is the most beautiful, charming, romantic place of spiritual love. But yet, the story is that Shukadev Goswami tells Parikshit Maharaj, every other chapter there's a demon coming. Sometimes 2 or 3 in a single chapter. Yes. And they're not just,
the BMC. or
they're not demons, they're just doing their job. But, you know, people get scared when they come around. or some little robber. Yes? Keshi, Aristasura, Agasura. These are first-class demons. They're envious, they're wicked, they're gigantic, they have mystic powers, and they attack Vrindavan again and again and again. And how do the Brijabasis pray? What do they do? And then Krishna leaves them and goes to Mathura. At least he appears to leave them. And what is the provoking situation that they're in? So yes, the world is full of provoking situations. You cannot avoid it. Being a pure devotee doesn't mean that those things do not happen to you. Look at all the provoking situations that came upon Prabhupada. Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, there were people threatening to murder him. People wouldn't allow him in temples because he was preaching that anyone can be a Brahmin if they have the qualifications. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had mystic yogis who had terrible powers provoking him by threatening death to him and all of his family members. Yes? Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. People were plotting to kill him as well. In Vrindavan, near Radha Kund. Sanatana Goswami was thrown in a prison cell with chains on his body. Hare Krishna. Narottam Das Thakur was being blasphemed by the caste Brahmins. So many threats against him. So becoming a pure devotee doesn't mean that you're not provoked. Pure devotee is one who responds to those provoking situations, following in the footsteps of the great souls. Study Prahlad. Study the Brijavasis. Study Dhruva. Study Parikshit. And we find that they never compromise the integrity of what they believe, no matter what. No matter how many temptations come before them, or no how many dangers and obstacles may come before them. Some temptations are, if you do this, that some of the obstacles that come before us are the type that appear like we're going to be crushed and lose so much if we remain faithful to God. And other obstacles are temptations that you could get so much pleasure, so much satisfaction, so much profit if you just compromise. Prahlad, all he had to do was say, Father, I learned mathematics. It's a very good subject. And he was going to be the next king. He would have inherited the entire royal throne of Hiranyakashipu. He would have been the crown prince. But no. Matirna Krishne Paratashvatova. Because you cannot control your senses, my father, you'll never understand Krishna. You are in a dark, deep well where there's no water, only suffering. You should go to Vrindavan and surrender to Krishna. Harivo. And even when he was being thrown off mountains and in oceans and in snake pits and fed poison, he's always taking shelter, surrendering to Krishna, chanting Krishna's names. So yes, the path of perfection is, in all circumstances, to learn to follow in the footsteps of the great souls. And Srimad Bhagavatam is such a supremely exalted scripture because it is the story of great souls and their love and relationship with God and how Krishna reciprocates with their surrender. That is the highest of all truths. How Krishna, what is the surrender of a devotee and how Krishna reciprocates with their surrender? There's no truth higher than that. Savai pung sang paro dharamo yato bhakti radhokshiji ahoitiki apratihata yagatma suprasidati. The supreme occupation for all humanity is that which brings one to unconditional, unmotivated, uninterrupted, loving service to the Supreme Lord. That is Sanatana Dharma. That is the eternal, intrinsic nature of the soul. Selfless love. Sarva dharman purityasya mame kam sharanam vraja aham tvam sarva papebhyo moksha ishami masucha. In 18th chapter of Gita, Krishna tells that we should abandon all varieties of religion and just surrender to Him. He shall deliver us from all sinful reactions. There's nothing to fear. That sounds so nice, doesn't it? But what does it mean to surrender? How to surrender? What is this surrender? Anyone can say, I'm surrendered. But Srimad Bhagavatam reveals to us what is the surrender that Krishna is speaking of through the stories of these great, great, great souls throughout history, how they surrendered and how they remained faithful to the integrity of their ideal of pure devotional service even in difficult circumstances. And what was their prayers? How Kunti Devi suffered, but yet how Srila Prabhupada and all of our acharyas worshipped her prayers. Los Angeles, California is the national headquarters of the International Society for Krishna Consciousness in all of America. During Srila Prabhupada's time, he spent a lot of time there. And he gave an entire lecture series, which is the only lecture series that I'm aware of that was filmed. Every day he spoke, and they filmed the whole thing. Today, you young people may not know what film means. Now you say videoed. But it was all recorded with cameras. And what was the subject of all of those classes? Prabhupada was giving lectures on the prayers of Queen Kunti. And then when it was such a dramatic experience for all the devotees hearing Prabhupada speak on Queen Kunti's prayers day after day after day after day, that they made a book out of it, Teachings of Queen Kunti. And Prabhupada was very, very happy with this book because it was such an important subject matter. So if we want to know how to pray, if we want to know how to think, if we want to know how to live, we must very carefully study the lives of the great souls. And we cannot imitate them. But to follow in the footsteps means the ideals that they hold sacred is what we should aspire for. What they're asking for, what they're begging for, is what we should also ask and beg for. Bhaktivinoda Thakura is one of the most exalted, illustrious acharyas of our sampradaya. If we want to learn what we should pray to the spiritual master, Bhaktivinoda Thakura is revealing how he's praying. So let us study briefly what he's praying for. Everyone repeat after me very loudly. Gurudev. Louder, please. Gurudev. By a drop of your mercy, make this servant of yours more humble than a blade of grass. Give me strength to bear all trials and troubles, and free me from all desires for personal honor. How many of you pray for these benedictions? This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is teaching us, is the proper way to pray to the spiritual master. This is what we should aspire for. Would you like to repeat that verse again? Or it's too embarrassing. Much louder, please. Gurudev. Thank you. By a drop of your mercy. Now please, as you're screaming out this prayer from the core of your heart, concentrate on its spirit and content. This is what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying to his spiritual master for. Gurudev, by a drop of your mercy, make this servant of yours more humble than a blade of grass. Give me strength to bear all trials and troubles, and free me from all desires for personal honor. O Lord and Master, invest me with the power What power would you like? People want the power to make money, the power to overcome their enemies, the power to win elections, the power to succeed and become famous, the power to influence others and become great and honored. Yes? What power is Bhaktivinoda Thakur begging for? This should be our standard. Would you like to know? O Lord and Master, invest me with the power to properly honor all living beings. Believe it or not, that is a power. Because the ego is so powerful, the most vicious enemy, vicious weapon of Maya is the false ego. And the ego wants to be honored. And the ego wants to criticize others. Rupa Goswami explains a pure devotee is one who does not have the tendency to criticize others. That's a very exalted position. That is power. Yes? There are so many kshatriyas who can just crash people in the face with their fist and knock them to the ground and make them bloody. Yes? That's power. Just to show that I'm better than you. Prabhupada says in Kali Yuga, if you touch a man's hair, he'll kill you. He becomes so offended. Ah, you touch me, how dare you touch me? People are so egoistic. Especially when their girlfriend or wife is there. Then they have to show their prowess. Then they're under very intense pressures of material natures to prove their prowess. You know, like I've seen monkeys do like this in Vrindavan. Or male and female monkey are there, and that's when the male monkey is most ferocious when a female is watching. Yes, to show their power, their prowess. And what is the prowess in this world? Usually to defeat others, to conquer others. But what does that mean? That means you're just totally being victimized and defeated by Maya, by the ego. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying, invest me with the power, the greatest power, of such humility that can only come by the grace of God, the power in which I can honor all living beings. He's not just saying, honor my guru, or honor the previous acharyas, because they can't say anything to me. It's easy to honor people who have already gone back to Goloka Vrindavan. But to honor people who are amongst us, he doesn't just say the Paramhamsas, he doesn't just say the Vaishnavas. Bhaktivinoda is praying for the power to offer honor to all living beings. That's what he's praying to Guru for. Only then will I sing the holy name. Louder. In great ecstasy. And will all my offenses cease. O Lord and Master, when will this devotee be blessed by obtaining your mercy? Now let us study the next line, how Bhaktivinoda Thakur offers his prayer. Here is Paramhamsa Acharya speaking. What is our position? Very loudly. Speak from your own heart as you make this your prayer. I am low.
I am low.
Fallen.
And devoid of all strength and intelligence.
Please make me your beloved servant.
When I examine myself,
I find nothing of value.
Your mercy is therefore essential to me.
If you are not merciful,
I will constantly weep.
And I will not maintain my life any longer.
We should study these prayers. Because only there is no other way but studying the prayers and examining the lives of the great souls and following to understand what is the essence of the perfection of life and how to achieve it. Srila Prabhupada opened the doors to this glorious sampradaya for us to enter into. A sampradaya of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in which he would not compromise with anything but the highest ideals. Anyabhilashita sunyam jnana karmanya davitam anukulyena krishna anushilanam bhaktir uttama. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is expanded from this verse, describing what is pure devotional service. This is such a revolutionary concept. Speaking of revolutions, we are in August Kranti. This is a very good place to speak about
revolutionary ideas. All of you know better than me what August Krunti represents. But from my understanding of Indian history, it was here that Mahatma Gandhi, Nehru, Sardar Patel, that they came together with all very, very big leaders, and they did something that stunned the British Empire. Here at August Krunti, they declared independence from the British. They declared a revolution to kick British influence out of India forever. Harivo. And Britain controlled all the armies. They had so much power. It was a very, very revolutionary idea. And coming here, Srinathji was telling me, he's coming from a very... Did you ever hear his background? His father was in the Navy, because it was during World War II. He was in the British Navy. And he had a high post. And the British Navy would not allow any type of facilities that could be used against the government to get out of the British military control. So for this program at August Krunti, Srinathji was telling me, these big, big leaders approached him because they needed a sound system. Now, we have so many sound systems. Yes, we have Madan Gopal and Gopijana Balava. They're always running around with sound systems. And there's so many places you could hire sound systems. But in those days, no one had a single sound system except the British military. It was outlawed. Huh? So what he did is he actually secretly stole massive sound system from the Navy, because he was in charge of this division. He stole it and brought it here secretly and set it up so that they could have a big rally to proclaim very loudly and boldly independence. And then right afterward, he had to hide, because he was wanted for arrest for doing that. And does anyone know where he hid for safety? The Lady Northcote Hindu Orphanage. Shri Radha Gopinath Ki Jai. So Srinathji has quite a history with our temple. So it was here that this historical rally took place, where the biggest leaders of the Indian Independent Party declared, "In Britain, get out. We want independence. And we will not stop until we are victorious." And that is August Krunti. Arrivo. So we are here today with a nice sound system. Quite a peaceful situation, at least at the moment. Of course, if we go after 10 o'clock, we'll be breaking the rules. But we should know how the principle, Srila Prabhupada, we heard from Shamsundar Prabhu and Trinakarta Prabhu, how revolutionary Prabhupada was. He wanted to start a cultural and spiritual revolution. He did not want to take over governments politically. He wanted to conquer ignorance with knowledge, conquer sinful activity with morality, and conquer people's hearts with love of Krishna. Prabhupada taught us how to declare independence from the clutches of Maya, by declaring our 100% complete dependence on Krishna through chanting his holy names. So we have gathered here together for that purpose, to learn how to actually and practically take shelter of the Supreme Lord. And we find in the case of every one of these great souls, they could pass through every situation because they were completely depending on the mercy of the Lord with faith.
Very well. Very nice, very nice. So that is tonight's message. To learn how to completely depend on Krishna. And how is that possible? By learning how to pray, to be humble, to honor all living beings, to pray for mercy, to pray for strength, to overcome temptations. The little fish can swim everywhere, even in the mighty current of the river, because the little fish has learned to take shelter. And Lord Chaitanya has given us the key instruction of all scriptures for those in the age of Kali. Kalera dosani deirajan asti heku mahanguna kirtanad eva krishnasya mukta sangha param braje. It's a very difficult age to live in, but it's the most wonderful of all times in history, because never has such an opportunity have been afforded for such an easy price. Radharani's lotus feet, to get the shelter of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani and her servants is available to all of us through Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And all he asks us to do is serve the Vaishnavas with humility, follow these regulative principles, follow the footsteps of the great souls in Srimad Bhagavatam and chant the holy names. Tonight we have a very wonderful opportunity because we have such a big kirtan hall that we could dance in any possible way. And we still have over an hour to do so. And it's not so crowded. There's a lot of space. So shall we have kirtan at this time? Would you like to speak a few words before? Can we give microphone to Trinakarta Pro? Can speak something?
Hare Krishna. All of you are exceptional Vaishnavas, and I'm just happy to be amongst you in the company of Radhanath Swami. It's very hard to speak after Maharaj has spoken so wonderfully, but we are all in the graces of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, so let's have cure time.
True eloquence is to speak concisely. Thank you for tolerating me. So everyone, please stand and let us chant very loudly. Let us chant the holy names, praying for these most... No, stay on stage, please, please. Praying for these most noble divine virtues that Bhaktivinoda Thakur
is revealing to us.